Well, hello. Thank you for being here to learn today. Today is the 7th of Teves, Zayin Teves, Tav Shin Pei Daled, December 19th, 2023. Dedicating today, happy birthday, my very esteemed mother-in-law, Mrs. Zemel, a significant birthday to Ima. And also this Friday, Mirat Hashem, is our Aunt Margie's birthday. So happy birthday to Aunt Margie as well. And last time, listening to the Aruch HaTzaddikim, he told us that we need something to uphold our good deeds. We might do so much chesed, learn so much Torah, but it's like having a vineyard or a field or a treasury with no doors or fences around it if we don't have bitachon. That means we could actually endanger our successes and our achievements of Torah and mitzvot if we don't have the proper midos to secure them. And those are the fences. The midos keep us in line. And they also safeguard our ma'asim tovim, our good deeds. We said that we need bitachon, mahu hagadir. What is this fence? And this is where we were leaving off last time. Zehu habitachon. This is the trust in Hashem. This is the security of knowing that Hashem is in charge. Sheboteach tamid berokim yisparach. That the person constantly leans and trust on Hashem. Now, why am I saying leaning? Because it reminds me again of the Mishnah in Oalos that Emir Hashem will probably talk about formally again, but there's something called the betach. And a betach in a structure, according to some Mefarshim, in Seder Taros in the Mishnayos, says, some of them explain it as being part of a windowsill, or similar to a windowsill, that a person who is on an upper story, for example, needs to look out the window, kind of hang out the window a little, but needs something to lean on so the person doesn't chas v'shalom fall out the window. That is the literal word betach used in Seder Taros, in Torah Sheba'al Peh. That is the root of bitachon. It's in order that my ma'asim tovim, my Torah and mitzvot, don't fall out the window. They don't get violated. They should endure. This should be Adover HaMiskayim. I need something to lean on. I need a fence, a protection, and that is bitachon. Kamo she'nemar, as it says in the Pasuk Tehillim, Perek Nun Hei Chof Gimel, which cannot be reviewed too many times. The more and more that we review this, the more impression it makes on us. Hashlech al Hashem, cast on Hashem Yahavcha, your burden, whatever it is, that's too burdensome. Emotionally, physically, financially, that burden, cast it upon Hashem. Hurl it on Hashem. And He will sustain you. The more we repeat it, the more it makes an impression. And now today, we're on new ground at this cycle of our curriculum. What is the fence for that fence? Meaning there are fences inside of other ones. There are safeguards and protections inside of each other to reinforce, to fortify our good deeds. Because if bitachon is the fence and the safeguard, the protection for our good deeds, for our Torah, mitzvot, and chesed, but there's also a safeguard for that safeguard. That means there's something else that protects that safeguard. Eza davar mevi she'yiftach ha'adam b'elokim. What is it? What cognition do we have to employ, so to say, in order to reach, what thoughts do we have to have in order to be able to build and uphold that bitachon fence? There's another fence. Zoi hu emuna. That is faith. People always ask, what's the difference between emuna and bitachon? Well, if we listen to the Aruch HaTzaddikim, here's one take on the matter. Mitoch shemamin babore. So this is a thought pattern. This is an attitude. Bitachon is the practical implementation of this emuna. But the emuna is the philosophy and the ideology that protects the bitachon. The bitachon is when we have to activate our thoughts for each and every specific situation. But the background for that is the emuna. What is the emuna? The emuna is the global approach that we have in our minds. Shemamin babore. The person believes and understands that the Creator, shekol hatzlachasto ba'olam hazeh, I actually understand, I believe that all of my success in this world, all of a person's success in this world, all of it, it says, v'olam haba, and success in the world to come, hakol hu mimenu. Everything is from Hashem. Now, what do I mean? I thought we're supposed to do ishtadlus. Yes, yes, yes. But we already learned. We're building on what we learned earlier. The Mesillas Yesharim explained that the ishtadlus is mukhrach. It's compulsory. It is required. It's like a checkpoint. It's like a tax we have to pay. We have to put forth and invest our efforts. But that's that and no more. It's that tax that we pay. The actual success, the perseverance, hakol hu mimenu. It's all from Hashem. It is not emanating from my ishtadlus. The ishtadlus is necessary, but the success is from Hashem. Ve'ein acher zu laso. And there is no other beside Hashem. I'm going to reflect on that for a minute. That means that even though I have to work hard and I have to put forth energy and invest all different types of time and emotion and labor and everything for my successes in this world, the success is not coming from me. It's coming from Hashem. I just have to put forth that hishtadlus. No sein libo le'ava oso b'chol avavo. Now the holy words of the Orchos Tzadikim is going ahead and synthesizing different midos because they're all intermingled. They're codependent, the midos. If a person does believe this, and I'm going to stop, take a breath, and reflect for a second here. I do understand and believe that my success comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I really do. I know that. I've been here a few decades, and I see that. There's no way to make the mistake about that. Now that I actually internalize and believe in that, then, as the Orchos Tzadikim says, the person is able to put his heart, I'm translating directly, to place his heart, to love Hashem with all of his heart. That means that my emotions will be involved in this process. Because logically and with plenty of evidence, I know that my success comes from Hashem. Once I realize that, and I might have to remind myself each day, more than once a day sometimes, then I will be able to love Hashem, because it is not enough to involve one's intellect. The emotions have to be involved as well, as we find in the Torah so many places. It's the lave that has to be involved as well. There has to be that passion, that fire, that emotion. But I'm only able to experience it if I go through the mental process of realizing that my success, whatever success, I'm going to stop right now and say, what success did I have today so far? And we're allowed to do this. Baruch Hashem, b'lein her. Okay, today I learned Baruch Hashem with Hashem's help. First I was at davening and learning, and then we had already had three classes today. And Baruch Hashem, people were learning beautifully. Perfection, we're not looking at perfection from anybody's standpoint. We're perfectly imperfect. Again, I like to credit my wife for that expression. That's also part of perfection. We're human beings who rise and fall, and we get stuck in the mud a little, but I'm looking at today's successes. That's all from Hashem. The ability to have that, to access that, to experience it, it's all from Hashem. Therefore, I love Hashem. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I really appreciate it. But there's another fence coming. So just to recap, Bitachon was the fence for good deed. Emunah was the fence, the protector, the safeguard for Bitachon. But now there's another fence, the Orchos Tzadikim says. Umal geder hu emunah. Oh, we're having layers of fences here. This is a maximum security situation when it comes to midos. What is the fence, the safeguard? What is the security that will ensure that I will be able to have emunah? So a person might think, oh, this is some kind of very deep, intricate philosophical study, correct? In order to reach emunah, correct? Ezeh davar mevi adam leidei emunah shleima. What is it that brings a person to the hands of perfect faith in Hashem? Full emunah. Ready? Surprise. It has not to do with thought as much as it has to do with action. And we've been saying it over and over again. This is number 77, Baruch Hashem, Le'ayin Hara, of the Bitachon Band. Hu shelo yisno eya midavara. Is that a person should not move from something that seems to be bad. Wow. That's a real bombshell, because he told us that in order to have emunah, we have to act a certain way. I have to have a plan. My plan is that when something challenging, something distressing, something discouraging happens, chas v'shalom, but it's part of life, I am not movable. I'm like a rock. I'm firm. I will not change. I won't fluctuate to the best of my ability in my attitude. I will remain upbeat and positive and optimistic. If I go ahead and embrace this plan, I go ahead and inculcate this, I am going to remain positive. Sheyakabel kol haba alav b'simcha, that the person will accept all that occurs with joy. So what we have to do now is digest everything the Aruch HaTzaddikim just told us. If we go backwards, start from the end, imagine this structure. I bet there are artists out there, someone who could actually depict this artistically. The first stage, we have to say, is to be makabel kol haba alav b'simcha. It has to do with our actions, again and again. Remember the Sefer HaChinuch and Parshas Bo, Ha'adam, Nifa, Kafipu, Losav. The person is created, is made, is formed, is developed according to his actions, not according to what he thinks. Yes, we have to think properly, and we have to plant the seeds of proper thoughts, but what really forms us is what we do. Adam nifal, the person is formed, is worked. Kisi pulosav, according to what the person does. And the Mesilas Yesharim, you've heard so many times already. Kitzonios ma'oreros pnimios, it's the outside actions that arouse what's inside us. We have much more access to our actions than we do to our thoughts. Our thoughts can run wild constantly, but our actions, we can harness it and get ourselves together. Yes, we can control our thoughts to a degree, but we have much more ability, says the Mesilas Yesharim, to control our actions. So, comes along the Aruch HaTzaddikim. We're going to work backwards and look at this methodology. So, the starting point is our actions. Let's make it very simple, like we're starting right now. Okay, hello, thanks for joining us. We're starting from scratch right now today. Okay, what do I need to do before anything else as we're introducing the foundations and the fundamentals of Bitachon? What's first? I have to have a plan, but my plan is that I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to freak out, whatever words you like to use. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm not going to be turned inside out when challenging things come my way. I will do my best to remain calm and positive and optimistic. Once I do that, I can have emuna. The Aruch HaTzaddikim says it. That will actually impress upon me that Hashem is the one who is responsible for my success. If I start with that attitude of being positive, I will work, I will smile, I'll work on myself, and I will be positive, then I will come to emuna. That emuna that I have from there on will actually be the fence for my bitachon. That's what he said in the beginning. He said, the getter habitachon is emuna. So it starts, again, we're going to summarize one more time the outline and then move further. It starts with shelo yisnoeya mitavara. It's a lashon of navanad, moving. A person will not be moved. Meaning, when a person says, oh, I have a positive attitude, my plan is to remain with that, quote-unquote, what people call a good mood. Ideally, there shouldn't be that the person gets into a bad mood. I'm not supposed to be that kind of person, if possible. Meaning, if something comes that's challenging, oh, it'll be upsetting, but I have to try to work through it. Obviously, it depends on how major it is, how minor it is. But ultimately, my job is to be on the receiving end of what Hashem sends my way, process it, work on it, however long it takes. But my plan is to be on the positive side. So that's lo yisnoeya, especially with the daily vicissitudes of life, the annoyances that occur. My Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein once heard him say that most of the stress that people experience, most of it has to do with things that are annoying, not things that are critical. That means that we have the ability to grow by working through all these experiences and to come out better from these experiences. With some people, I want to mention that Rav Chaim Vital, quoted by Rav Volbe, as you know already, says that based on the four elements of creation, and Afar, earth is one of them, some people have a predominant yesod, which is earth, their earthliness, their physicality, which pulls them down towards certain mitos like depression and laziness. We come into this world with raw material. Everybody has all four elements of creation. I'm only talking about offer today. Offer is the earthliness that pulls me down and causes me to be lethargic, depressed, and pessimistic. Some people, that's their life's work. to come into this world, I was thinking about myself. I might have come into this world as a bundle of nerves, but by the time I leave, I want to be a bundle of joy. We have a life's work. So let's say the person has a predominant trait of offer. The person will have a tendency toward depression and pessimism and laziness. That's what Rav Chaim Vital says, and Rav Volpe quotes it. So the person, therefore, needs to say, I acknowledge this. This is something I was born with, perhaps. It's my challenge, but I'm going to do something with it. So lo yisno eya midavara, I will not be moved into a bad mood, so to say. I won't be moved to depression from things that come my way. Once I do that and get in the habit of being in that mode, every day there are challenges, and I work on those challenges, then I can have emuna shleima to believe my success comes from Hashem. And once I get in that mode, I'm able to have bitachon. This is what the Or HaTzadikim says, is the progression. Then I'm able, when these situations come up, to actually have the proper mindset when each situation comes up. It's very profound what the Aruch HaTzadikim says, but that's going to be our study of it for now. And Emir Tashem will elaborate in many ways as the time passes. The Aruch HaTzadikim continues, when a person is Yekabel Kol HaBa'olav B'Simcha, when the person says, I'm going to smile through it. I'm going to laugh through it. You know, many situations that are stressful are also really hilarious. Many of them are. So I can find the humor in things many times also. When a person accepts what happens with joy, it's besimcha. You notice that it really is funny sometimes. Zed domet le'eved. What is this compared to? This is like a servant. Shamakir Adonav shunazi v'rachamon. A servant or a worker who recognizes his employer, his master, that he is generous, he's compassionate. We are all Avdei Hashem, and we recognize, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nadiv, he's generous, he's kind, he's compassionate. U'mashalim la'osei ritzono u'shlichuso sachar gadol. We know that Hashem pays those who do his will to the best of their ability and do Hashem's mission, great reward, both worlds. This world and the next world. The quality of life for a person who keeps Torah and mitzvos, it cannot be emphasized enough. It's not just like something far away. Oh yeah, it's Gan Eden, it's the afterlife, it's Olam Haba. It's Olam Hazeh! Look how life is meaningful with Torah and mitzvos. Hashem is giving us that wholesomeness, that meaning, which is implicit within the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvos. V'ad sheyachbid al mesharsav avoda kasha. Even though this employer, this boss, creates a lot of work, provides a hard work for those who serve him, who meitiv lahem tovos gedolos. But still, as a reward, he's so benevolent to them. He gives them tremendous rewards and favors. Umagadlam umanasam. He raises them up. He carries them. He takes care of their needs. Look at the needs that Hashem takes care of for us. V'yiyu anshei atzoso. They will be the people of Hashem's counsel, meaning, this is in the mushal aspect of it. When an employer has a loyal servant, he will promote him and he'll be part of his cabinet of advisors. Well, Kaviyachal Hashem does that also. People who do the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem elevates and promotes us to be closer to him. The Ochlan al Shulchano, those servants, they eat on the table of their employer, of their master, because they're so loyal. They have such meaningful reward, lasting reward. Omar Kivam. And if it's a king, he rides them in his chariot of the viceroy, meaning they become like second to the king. And again, that employer appoints them over his land. The Aruch HaTzadikim is describing how Hashem is so fair and benevolent, so generous. He's in the mushal aspect of it now. He's saying in the mushal is that a boss, an employer, who sees such dedication and devotion in his or her employees, will elevate and promote them and raise them. Ein safek, so there's no doubt, shezeho eved, that this servant, this worker, hayodeh umakir zeh ba'adonov, who knows and recognizes this in his work, in his master, his boss, sheyazov kol masha ba'olam, that person, that servant, that worker will just abandon everything else in the world, and do the will of his master with joy. Because if we sit back and realize how kind Hashem is, how benevolent Hashem is, how compassionate He is, we would say, all I want to do is serve Hashem. The things that I do to relax, the recreation, that's all a means to me serving Hashem. I really only want to serve Hashem. Hashem is so kind. He's so sweet. He's so benevolent. Even if sometimes the work seems to be very challenging and difficult, it is rigorous, but it's the greatest joy that anybody could ever experience is to work on one's avodas Hashem, avodas hamidos. That's where we're here. Bizachor hatova asher tagia elav. Because when that worker works in a dedicated fashion, he remembers the reward, the goodness that will reach him. Biglal havoda hazos. Because of this service that he's doing. This is the mashal. The dedicated worker who knows that the reward is coming. He knows there's going to be a very generous paycheck there. If there would be a worker, a servant, who sees that his master holds back, doesn't pay him, and he knows that his master, or that his boss, is miserly, is stingy, and his work, his labor is much more than his reward. If there would be such a worker working in such a place, probably should look for a different job. Such a worker, such a servant will only toil and labor for his employer with sadness. Now, if we stop for a minute, what did he just tell us? The only person who has a right to be sad because of his job is the one who doesn't really get paid properly. He's not treated properly by his boss. But the one who's treated properly with respect and is paid on time and is paid generously, oh, that's a very happy employee. Kein hu inyan hazeh. That's how it is with us and Hashem. Hamamin emuna shalema biyotzro. The one who believes with full faith in his creator. That Hashem does good and He has mercy. Yoser mikol merachem. More than anybody else who has compassion. There is no human being, there's no creature who has the same type of compassion, the same degree of mercy that Hashem has. Hashem is the ultimate merciful one. The only one. Any mercy that comes to me, any compassion, any sensitivity that I experience from people, they are conduits for Hashem's compassion and sensitivity, Kaviyachol. The Shu Dayan Emesh. Hashem is a true judge. He's fair. The Chol Masha Osa Lo. Everything that every person does for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hakol Hu L'Tovaso. This means everything that Hashem does to the person. All that Hashem does to every single person, it's all for the person's ultimate good. Hashem is only good. It's to give the person great reward. I'll call Masha Sobel on all that the person endures and tolerates. Lishmo HaGadol, for the sake of Hashem's great name. Yeah, I'll call HaAvod of Asherus Shayaseh for all the service and the dedication that the person works for Hashem. Lishet Shamayim, for the sake of Hashem. Yasiglo Ni'imos Gedola Ba'olam Hanoyim. This person will receive so much pleasant reward in the world of pleasantness. And today, we're going to start to talk about a story that happened in the Gemara, because the Orcha Tzaddikim only hints to it. And it's going to be a cliffhanger, because I can tell you right now that in 5 minutes, we're going to be in the middle of the story. That what caused you to want to come back next week, maybe. Did everybody realize that Nebuchadnezzar did something wonderful? Now we all know who he was. That's correct. What did he do? He was the king of Babel who destroyed the first base of Mikdash. He had his general, Nebuzradon, a.k.a. the butcher of Baghdad in ancient times, Avor Shepasa Arba Psios. But he did something good. Because he took four steps, Nechvot HaKel Yisporach, for the honor of Hashem, Zacha the Gedula Gedola. He merited great promotion and elevation from Hashem. Now the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Vavim and Aleph. We're going to look at this story. Not such a well-known story unless we learn the Gemara in Perek Chelek, in the 11th Perek Gemara Sanhedrin. But suffice it to say at this moment that when a person does anything, even very minute, Hashem rewards us. He pays attention. Maybe the warm feeling we should have is that Hashem is watching and scrutinizing and getting nachas kaviyachol from everything we do. Let's say after we're finished today, we see somebody, we smile at the person. That gives Hashem nachas. We get rewarded for it. We smile. We talk to somebody. We say hello. We do everything we do is rewarded. What's the story with Nebuchadnezzar? What happened? What is this four-step situation? He took four steps, and he was greatly rewarded. So there was a king, the Gemara says, of Babel. His name was Merodach Baladan, and he was the son of Baladan. He was the king of Babel. He sent letters, and he sent a present to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Emir Hashem, next time we're going to be reading a good portion of the text of the Gemara inside, the original Gemara, but I'm going to first give you the background, the introduction, which is also in the Gemara earlier. What did Merodach Baladan hear that prompted him to send letters and a present to the Jewish king, the Tzaddik, Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda? Because the king of Babel, Merodach Baladan, heard that Chizkiyahu HaMelech had been sick and he was recovered. Now, the reason we're learning this story is because at the end of the story, you already know that, Nebuchadnezzar is going to take four steps. And he will be rewarded so much you can't even imagine. Which means that if we take four steps, or 10 steps, or 100 steps, or whatever the thousands are, we get rewarded for every one. It should give us a warm feeling of bitachon. Today we talked about bitachon and emunah. Again, and we said we have to realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the story, is the success that we have. The story of all our success is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's all from Hashem. And He watches what we're doing, cares about what we're doing, and He's a very fair, compassionate, loving, affectionate, sensitive employer. That's what the Aruch HaTzadikim had said. Whatever we do, we get rewarded. And part of the reward is actually the ability and the opportunity to do mitzvot and continue doing more. So that's what this story is going to tell us. A little more of the story, and then we're going to end. So the Gemara says, just because Chizkiyahu HaMelech had fallen ill and recovered, would the king of Babel send him letters and a present? I know that he's a king, but still, people get sick and they get better. So why would the king of Babel send letters and a present to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda just because he had been ill and he recovered? Why would that prompt him to do that? So the answer is, there's much more to the story, the Gemara says. No, this king of Babel wanted to inquire of the wonder, a miracle had happened. And when he found out about the nes that happened in Klal Yisrael, that is when he decided to send these presents to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Mirat Hashem, we're going to see next time, where does Nebuchadnezzar come into this story of this king of Babel, Merodach Baladan? How does he get involved, and how Hashem rewards him greatly for just four steps that he took? May Hashem help us to see the immediate rewards for everything we do, including bitachon and amunah and chesed and Torah, because that is what Torah and mitzvahs is about, to recognize the beauty and the reward that accompanies them and that they actually are whenever we do them. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week.